All right, we'd like to call this meeting order. This is our regular discussion session, May 12th, 2015. A bit of housekeeping before we get on. As you have noticed, Ms. Jimenez is not here. She may be able to join us later, but she was detained on something else. She may be back, she may not. So, we are pleased to have Dr. Rendell here with us. Thank you. I know this is tape. Nobody can see it, but not believe me, he's here.
I am here.
There you go.
The wave of the reporter. Okay. With that, I don't have anything specifically on the agenda, but Mr. Searcy does, so we'll jump right in. Charles, you want to bat lead on?
First item that I have, I've been approached by a number of folks in the community to see what it would take for our school district to re-implement driver education in both high schools. And I don't know where to go from there. I know we eliminated our driver's ed teacher, we eliminated our cars, we eliminated all of that. And apparently there's some money in the Schlossberg Fund that could help us with that. But I just need to know if there's any interest in trying to get that established, because the one thing that I heard from the tax collector, Carol Jean Jordan, was that folks that come in there to pass their driver's test don't have a clue about what's going on. She said they have wrecks in the parking lot out there when they come and do their test. I know that we can't be everything to everybody, but I wanted to throw it on the table because there's some folks in town that would like to put up some money to help us get going. I don't know how much, but just to see if the board's interested or if the superintendent can make it happen.
I tell you, let's hear, is there any discussion? I mean,
I'm glad to hear that you said there's folks that want to put up money, because I think when I first started, I talked about this, and I'm probably going to get the figures wrong, but it was like I don't know the history about how it got out, but to get it back in was about 180. I could be using my fingers wrong.
380, wasn't it?
It was a large amount. $250,000 plus at each school.
And there was only $18,000 in that fund. Mm-hmm. And that's where the deficit is. If we could find money, I would think everybody would want it, but it's that money issue. I mean, I know I was in favor of it, Sean, but there was the money issue.
Absolutely, and this is something I've sort of been tracking a little bit with the with the county commission. They recently reinstituted, I think it's a $3 or $5 charge.
Yes.
So they're projecting the revenues to be around $75,000. So $500,000 to $75,000, we're not there. Now those monies can actually be used by any student in the county. So even at St. Edward's or any public school, public charter, and that's through, I believe it's the American Safety Council. But there are some good folks in the community who are stepping up with those scholarships. Perhaps we could do a better. But this is a fairly recent thing, so maybe it's something we haven't had an opportunity to advertise yet.
Just a little bit of background. I think we did talk before that it was during the budget, crisis that we ended up. We had done an estimate, and it has come up various times, because there are some people in our community that are very interested in that. And so in establishing what the cost would be, it is about $250,000 at each school, because we have no cars, we have no driving range, anymore. We would have to hire instructors, so the cost is significant. One of the things that we had talked about and suggested with the county commission, because we've actually had staff attend meetings over there, is there is a vendor that's interested in coming into the community and offering driving. It would be fee-based, okay? We could advertise for students for the summer or whatever, but the idea of using some of those dollars that are generated through the Doris Schlossberg for something like that. Maybe they could have scholarships that could help, but it is at a significant cost to bring it back, so it would be a budget priority that you would have to discuss.
However we get it on the table, whether it's privatized, and I would call it privatizing, or trying to bring it back. And I know our primary mission should be educating children. I don't have a question about that,
sure.
But that's a piece of education. I know I took it, and they were so happy when I got out of that program. But But anyway, I just wanted to lay it on the table and see if there's any interest in doing it and find a way. And I know there's a gentleman that's going to be coming on board in a couple of weeks or whatever that might have some ideas about that, and I'm sure we'll bring that up to him. But it's a critical issue in our community, and we are the perfect place to get it going. And I would like for it to not die.
And I'll go ahead just from a historical perspective from where I sat. You know, I was on the board when we got rid of it. I don't think there was any board member who wanted to do that. You're talking about things like the Piper program, Simon Ball program. You know, those were all perk kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we went through it every year. It's like, you know, just trying to get down to the core thing. Remember, we had on the table serious discussions about having no art, music, library in elementary schools. I mean, that's how, I mean, people don't understand how bad it was. So nobody wanted to get rid of driver's ed. In fact, before that came up to a vote, the guy who was doing it at Sebastian Rohr High School is Tony Perry. You know Tony, mm-hmm. Tyrone Perry? Mm-hmm. I know Tony since I was in seventh grade. We played high school football together. You know, he's a friend of mine. You know, and that's hard to do. I know Harriet Green stops me in church months and months. I know for some folks there is a perception that the County Commission did stop that. Mm-hmm. They enacted it. But there is a perception that, well, that's back. Now you've got all the money to do it. It's not enough money. I think one time Carter told me, this goes back a couple of years, but the money that was generated at that time was enough to pay for a substitute summer.
That's right.
And that was it. It was not enough for, you know, and I'm not talking about startup costs. I'm talking about ongoing operational costs. There is a, they probably call, I don't know if they've called you too, there's a private third-party vendor he's called me many times, I can't remember the dude's name. So there is some opportunities there. And you know, we've talked, what I'm trying to say is this is not something that everybody just said, let's get rid of it, we don't want it. We've always looked at places, ways to do it.
So we'll talk and we'll look at the privatization part of it as well and see what we can offer. And Dr. Rendell and I, you know, will follow up on that. I did want to also mention that at one point, you know, driver education now is offered through virtual, you know, where you can get credit. And at one time, they were not going to allow you to use that as your online credit because you don't have to have an online course for graduation. Well, a couple of years later, they revised that. So many of our students now use that as their online credit for graduation. And so they can take it online and receive credit for that. Excuse me? No.
Because we had this discussion earlier today. And Dr. Rendell has some familiarity with what they're doing in Brevard and in St. Lucie, which is a little bit different. Do you mind sharing that?
Sure, not at all. In both districts, there's a third-party provider that uses the school facilities after school and in the summer to provide the training. Mm-hmm. So the schools are the information provider. You know, we get the information to the students and the families. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, in both those districts, the district doesn't really handle any of the money or anything like that. It's all funded to the third-party provider, but we offer access and facilities and that kind of thing. So that's something we could look at.
That probably makes a lot of people happy.
Yeah. And what's unique here is there is some dollars that can be put toward that to, you know, assist.
And we might even consider, I know that St. Edward's has a driver education program because they get some of the Schlossberg money. And, you know, I know it's kind of unusual for us to pair up with a private school, but maybe we might be able to pair up with them and figure out a way to make it happen. But it's on the table.
Well, especially since I think we just authorized converting our driver's course at Sebastian into a bus parking lot.
That's right.
So that facility comes offline, if it's not already. It will be very shortly. So
we've got plenty of roads in our community.
Well, but you know, you remember Coach Wilson will tell you, you have to get that parallel park right between those codes. So you have to crawl before you can fly and go across three lanes of traffic and scare everybody. But you know, I think that the public-private partnership is a good way to go, because if we're in the business of owning fleets of cars and things like that, but any partnership's a good one.
Good.
All right. Anybody else got anything on that? All right. Mr. Knox, Ms. Menez is not here, so Mr. Frost, do you have anything?
I do. I'd like to let you lap me and see if maybe Mr. Menez shows up, because I'm going to ask the board to make some sacrifices. So.
Like her. Did you say
sacrifice? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Cinch up your belt a little bit.
Ms. Simchek?
Okay. I didn't quite hear you, but I'll wait till it gets to you again.
Yeah.
Thanks. I wanted to just give me a moment to go over things, because publicly at our workshop last Tuesday, I believe it was the workshop for the new grading system, that I had indicated I would support the grading scale if I got some significant data that would support that was an effective strategy. And I have some more data, and I'd like to share it, because I would find it difficult to support without certain things moving forward. And again, the history of this, I know someone was very passionate about it, so I don't want her to miss out on the conversation, but I'll share my information. That, and this is where I feel some clarification was needed, because I remember when we were talking, I had said if there was some complaints in the future, there would be on grades, that it would come after the semester. And I remember, Mr. Searcy, you had said, well, it would only be a complaint if it affected their child. Well, historically, that's how we got here. There was somebody that, and rightfully so, perhaps, because it concerned them, that a 89.5 to 100 is, a large A, and that perhaps their child was a, 96. I don't know the particulars, but why is the 90 versus the 96? He's not being recognized, or she's not being recognized. And so based on that task, that complaint, that was the generation of a task for staff. And staff did go forward trying to find an alternative scale that would distribute those grades. And I have to say staff did a good job on this report, very much so, as far as, not even staff, it was the committee, the 22 people, and they did move forward. What was a little hard for me at that time was, in this report, there wasn't a conversion in the back of the plan. There wasn't a conversion for the current system, that an A is a 4, and yet there was a conversion in the back that we would start at 4.25. So, trying to get those numbers quick was a little, and I needed more information. So what there was a system that added an A+, making an A+ a 4.25, so it inflated that, or I would say it made great possibilities and outcomes for the upper end. And adding an F+ and removing the double F made great possibilities for the bottom, but as my belly got the barometer, the A- and the B- and the C- and the D- on the conversion chart drops an A-, which would normally be a 4.0, to a 3.75. So the new system that was created, it wasn't we grabbed it from left here or there, was a test and a theory, and there was a lot of words called probabilities. There was no data and no real data and no sampling that had been done on our students. And so there are a lot of, as I said, impacts to GPAs. Mm-hmm. GPAs that would hurt competition with other counties and other states and on national levels to collect scholarships. One thing that I was confused about, and you had asked the question for me, what about the colleges' averages? Don't they do 4-3-2-1? And I think there was a little loss in translation. There was an answer, every county does what they want. And the answer, yes, that's true, but that's for the 9 weeks, and the 9 weeks, then they get converted into the college. So there's a lot of different scenarios in different counties on how they get to the semester. So I thought your question was good, but it wasn't quite clear. I felt that a big issue
as I said, because it was probabilities, was if we moved forward on something like this, we have no sampling. We have no, it's a big guess as to where our children would fall and where the problem would be. And as I said, I really needed those appendixes, which I still don't have, but I wanted to point out something that is something as important as grading and kids' grades. And you can pass these forward. I put a little thing here. We had the student positive climate discipline code of conduct on our website. We thrashed it around last year because some there was a couple of people at a quasi-judicial and, will kids wear hoodies and zero tolerance, and there was kinder, gentler way. And this was a real public input, and a real, this is on our web, and actually this is on our agenda tonight, to finally adopt it. After a lot of public, here it's coming, take a look, it's on our web, it's coming. And I would just hope that, for me, I think that to give the greatest possibility to the students, I don't know why we would, without knowing, if it improved the upper A's and the lower F's by 9%, and it lowered the A's, B's, and C's, I'm making fictitious, but close, by 25%. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that if you take a 10-point scale and you create a layer on the lower third of each one, I don't know those possibilities or probabilities as the statistician had, and we don't really know them either, how they're going to fall, until the back end when we get a complaint. And why wouldn't that complaint be as important as the first one that started it? It is a philosophy, but I don't know why we would lower our, or not know how we're lowering our GPAs when we want our kids to be able to compete for scholarships on a county and national level. And then finally, like I said, tonight's meeting, we're having a on the agenda about the new grading system, too, and we don't know the ramifications of that yet. And I just feel that this would be rushing to send flyers home. We have no sampling. We haven't involved the public, maybe a core group of 22 people. In light of the things that I've found out, I also feel that I don't know how to do it. You're creating another layer, but I think that there should be a cohort. If you ever did go to it, I don't think that you should penalize the 9th, 10th, and 11th graders that are in one system and then put them in another grading system. As I said, I would like to see that we have real comparisons, real sampling, that we can have some real data, and that we, the things that we were missing in the packet, I still would, which maybe staff has, and I ask that maybe they can, maybe there's more questions, I don't know, but I would really hope that we would do a cohort if we ever passed it. Of course, let me just tell you another alternate. If you added an F plus in our current system and got rid of the double F's, you would inherently would raise our possibility as higher grades. So I understand it's a philosophy, and that the mother of Susie or Tommy, who has a 96, and the mother and father of Johnny, who has an 89, that person, when completing, and again, it's going to affect the top 10. This new system is really geared for the top 10 or helping those bottom kids. But I'm really concerned about the A minuses dropping down, the B minuses dropping down, and C, and the possibilities. And as I said, in the back of the thing here, there's an appendix, or it's somewhere in here, there's an appendix for the new system, but no conversion chart. And then in the back of our presentation was the conversion chart, but no appendix. So I'm short some information, but that's my philosophy, that it really should be more of a process of sampling, more of a really looking at that, because besides giving a good education, paying our teachers well, and providing a conducive learning environment, we want to give our kids the best edge in the counties and in the state for these scholarships. And I don't know that we have the proof. We have no, as I said, I don't know that we have the efficient data to say this is an effective system that we're going to put in. I would hope that we'd at least do get that back from staff. Say, please do sampling and tell us. Instead of, it's a theory, we worked it out,
I mean, I don't want to insult. Staff did what they were tasked. They were told to look for a way we could distribute the thing. I would have hoped it would have been, look at them and tell us which is the best way, but at some other point in time, staff was tasked with find another grading system. I don't know how we got to that. I mean, it started with a complaint and how it got, and another thing, they put a lot of time into it. I can see clearly. I don't think it's the best thing. As I said, the data that I needed, and I said last week that if I could get the data, I could support it, but I don't think it's a smart move forward. And without having sampling, I could never support it, because I don't think that's right to do something on a theory. And I also think if we did get the sampling, you may want to consider a cohort. But I don't know if staff has those missing pages or the appendix or if anybody has any input, but thank you for listening.
Yeah, before we start discussing, Dr. Adams, did you?
First of all, it was a lot of information in a short period of time. I mean, that's real. I mean, trying to bring that up and go over, we totally understand that. Second of all, there's no, I want to put this out there too, there's no sense of urgency to change that right now, you know, for next year. This was bringing the recommendation of the committee forward that spent a good deal of time reviewing all of that. So, you know, they were ready to bring a recommendation forward to the committee, or to the board, and so that's what you saw. There's a lot of things happening. I mean, what's coming forward tonight is just the impact of the legislative changes that have happened in Senate Bill 7069. Okay, so that's, tonight is totally different from
from
this.
Oh, yeah, it's just another layer.
But it is another layer. So, two things. One, there was a lot of information, we understand. If you feel like you need more information, that is a non-issue with that. Second of all, it is important to make sure teachers and students and families know what the changes are, you know, as you move forward. So I think that's an important part. And if the board wants to look at more information, it would give the committee another chance to take a look at this. So I just want to put you at ease to say there's no reason that this came forward. We're ready to move forward with it if the board is comfortable with the changes we brought, but I don't want you to feel that it is a mandate that you have that in place for next year. It's the best thinking of the committee.
I take it from your comments you're not in favor of this.
No, I had said I would be. And just to add one more thing, I did call St. Lucie, or I found out that St. Lucie and Brevard just do a straight, maybe I'm wrong.
10-point scale.
10-point scale. Everything's an A. That's the world, you know? You're a call taker, I'm a call taker, you took 20, I took 18, but we both make the same salary. Oh, well. You know, I mean, that's the real world. And what's your beer order, Matt? No, it's not. But what I'm saying is that Brevard and St. Lucie just do we do an A plus and then the lower. It's a philosophy. People want to see, you know, as I said, if a parent wants to say, why should my kid get the same A that the person who's getting the 90? But when we're competing with, why would we lower our GPAs to a 3.75 for a traditional A? I'm not in favor of it.
Yeah. So staff did bring more information for the board to look at today to have further discussion. And one other piece that wasn't brought up before that will, I think, would make a difference for you, but we need to talk about it, is the fact that on the chart it was changed from a 98 to 100 to a 97 to 100, which then does give further. It was to even out the scale. So those students that are at the top of that scale, an additional point was added at every level for the plus. So that does change the numbers as well. So we do have the information if you're okay with us bringing it forward and sharing that. Okay? All right.
Anything else on that?
Sorry.
Oh, you're talking about bringing it forward right now?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, and the reason I brought it up was because sometimes in fashion, we discuss at a workshop, and there's a couple of, I know my head was one of them, and I shook my head, and I was just so afraid afterwards, after
there was a question, then a question. I kept asking for, I need more to understand, that I was afraid that it would show up on agenda in 2 weeks. We wouldn't put it on a website. We wouldn't do sampling. And I don't know what a good sampling would be, 100 kids. That's not for me to say, but I think we really should do sampling.
Yes, thank you. So, three things, Centric, you had asked. This is the current set of grading appendices in the student progression plan. I think these are the conversion charts you were referring to that weren't completely in the other presentation. So this is what we currently have that was approved, I believe, in February. Okay. The second packet that I'd like to pass around are the conversion charts that are on tonight's agenda. And you may or may not need to look at those or saw them, but I want to make sure everybody has them.
Is this for our current system?
That's our current system. The second packet you're getting is in response to House Bill 7069 and requiring that the EOC be 30% of the grade and not have any other semester exams included in there. And then the final packet are the charts you were referring to that were not shared at the previous discussion session that show the proposed appendices. So we don't have to look at each one of these, but I want to make sure you have them. So you should have a current. You should have a revised House Bill 7069, and you should have a proposed 1516. Does everybody have those three?
Mm-hmm.
There were some questions about the sampling, and so maybe Brian's not here, but I think I can speak to that particularly. So one of the issues we have is teachers collect grades currently in our gradebook, eSimpler. And that rolls it along as percentages and numbers or however they set their grade book up. We don't control that. They grade in eSimpler. At the end of the day, we take that grade based on the current, and you referred to it, Ms. Simchek, it's on each one of these charts. There's a little conversion that will say, for example, in sixth grade, a 98 to 100 is an A+. We only roll over that A+ into terms. We don't roll over the percentage. So I can't go in and have my programmers run stats and say, well, what if the A was now a 90, that was an A-. I only get an A or an A+. I don't get the 90 or the 91 from eSimpler. Does that make sense? So what we could do, though, if that was the direction of the board, is we could go into eSimpler and do some programming work over the summer to pull out those raw teacher grades. What did the teacher end up with? 91, 92, 93, and convert those, I think that's what you're referring to actually what it would, how would it impact our students?
I think that's what I think I want too, but what I would like to see is, I think that's what you're...
As we move from COBOL to SQL Server with the new Focus software, is this something that would be a lot easier to do?
Absolutely. And number two, the Focus gradebook and the Focus student information is one and the same. Mm-hmm. So it's not two different systems. It's not a COBOL terms and a SQL eSimpler. The problem with eSimpler is we don't own it. We host it, so it's hard for us to get under the covers and get stuff out. We will have all that and be able to...
So you would be programming on a system that we're eliminating.
Right.
Basically.
And writing custom reports that's not just radio button. It's
right.
Dozens, maybe hundreds of lines of code to extract those data.
Yes.
And I don't have time to do that. I don't either. I'm busy tomorrow, as you said.
Does that work? Cost money?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yes.
Quite a lot.
Okay.
Last one.
Because this is kind of what I was looking at, but I can't figure out which page to compare.
if I were to, and this is what was my concern, this is where that A minus, B minus, if you took, and I don't even know if I'm the right
proposed
thing,
15,
the proposed 15-16, okay. You would have to go and take the current, and then I'd have to go to the append. This is where I wanted to see, but you would, if I can articulate the best way, that this was my concern last week, but I couldn't articulate. If I took the appendix, that an A plus put an A plus equals this, and I'm not even sure because I'm in the wrong grade, and I took an A plus, yeah, and I took an A plus and an A plus here, and I went down and I looked how we're changing. So that would be 83 and, oh, they're both the same pages, excuse me. 83 and 83 from the current versus the thing. Am I right now? And we went line by line. You could see somewhere along here. Let me go down to, well, no, I can't see. But that's where I'd like to see where the fallout would be with the minus.
So, for example, in the proposed, in the proposed packet, mm-hmm. it says page 83 in the lower right.
Sure.
It's the grades 8 through 12 non-EOC.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I'm what you're thinking. On the third, look at the second line. You have an A plus and an A. That's the second combination.
Sure.
And depending on your exam grade, follow along, you get an A, an A, an A, an A, and if you get an F, you get a B. The line below that adds an A minus. That's a new combination. So I'm on the proposed chart, third line down.
Okay.
A plus and an A minus. If you follow along to where you get a D on your semester exam, the student would receive a B for the 9-week grade, not the semester grade. For the 9-week grade, that would result in a B compared to an A under the other system. I think that's...
Okay, where was that line on the other? Because you've added some an extra line. So it's an A plus and an A minus.
So the best you could compare it to would be an A plus
and
an
A
on our current. That's
an A plus and an A, because the 92 would be an A. Mm-hmm. You would end an A minus.
Mm-hmm.
A plus and A minus on a D
would give you a B semester, 9-week grade.
I have no idea.
And here it would give you a B, and
on
there
the
it would give you an A.
It would have given you
so
an A because
a child or a student would get an A in our current system, but in the new system we get a B. And so if you have the philosophy, and I would, I'm respecting the philosophy, that that's what somebody wants to do because they want the kid that has a 96 to stand out from the kid that has the 92, that'll take care of it when you distribute it. But are we doing the right thing by our students? Are we doing the right thing with their GPAs? Are we doing the right thing for their scholarship opportunities competing with other counties and other states and national, you know, national scholarships? That's my concern.
Okay, I want you to look at this. I want you to look at the first three, if we look at the old and the new, because I think this is giving an advantage, actually. And the reason it's giving, I think, an advantage is because it's now 97 to 100 and not 98 to 100. So if you look at the scale of A plus and A plus, do you see where, you know, on an A plus and an A plus on the old one, when you get to an F, it gives you a B, right?
Yes.
When you come to the new one, it gives you an A.
That is correct. That.
When you go down to the second line, if it's an A plus and an A, it's the same thing. Whereas on the old scale, you got a B, the new scale gives you an A.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. So there are some combinations that result in a higher 9-week grade and some that result in a lower. Yes.
But we did not discuss the fact that the rate had changed. Now it's 97 to 100 and not 98 to 100, which gives an advantage to the top.
Yes. In the top
range. But not the middle.
Right.
So without sampling, we don't know. I mean, I will not argue that you're giving an advantage to the top. And by adding an F plus and getting rid of the double F, we're giving an advantage to the bottom. We're giving an advantage to the top. But we don't know how this pans out in between. I don't think
we should do anything without sampling, because you're making a best educated guess.
And the B plus has changed as well. So you are still at the top.
Yes, all okay, of the so pluses, of the top, there's a point more.
Got it. Okay.
On the upper end, when you divided it into a more equal range,
right,
that is correct.
Okay.
On all of the pluses, there's a point more at the ABC.
Sean?
Sure. I think I hear you.
Thank you.
The concern is that in Brevard or St. Lucie County, they have the inflation. They have great inflation, which when comparing an Indian River County graduate to a Brevard or St. Lucie County, you're concerned that they won't stack up, there'll be scholarships lost or admission opportunities missed. And I don't disagree. However, I don't know how good grade inflation is. I mean, we see it everywhere. However, to your point, I think we also need to take plenty of time. But we discussed that at our last meeting about doing something similar to the superintendent's coffee as we roll this out. We have to be very mindful of how we take this to the public. So that's something. As far as sampling goes, you know, one of my A minuses in grad school was in statistics, but inferential statistics mean that we can take any sufficiently large population and predict within, you know, 5% confidence interval or whatever what will happen given this many students. So and I'm assuming that Indian River County, the 17,000, gets us there. So as far as taking living data, we can it can be modeled, unless I'm mistaken, as far as that's extremely likely what will happen.
So can I just clarify? That's where I want to make sure I clarify.
Okay.
So the data we have to work with right now is just the grade. For me to do the sample, I would need to separate a 90A from a 95A. That's in the teacher's grade book, not in terms. So I can do that sampling, but I'm going to need some time to go into eSimpler, which I don't own. That's their SQL database. Work with that vendor who we just told last week that we're not renewing their contract because we're going to Focus, and hope they would give, you know what I mean? So that was my point, because I have to know the percentage differences to model an A minus at a 90 versus a 94. So it would just take me some time to dig into eSimpler's database. If it was in terms, I could turn it over pretty quick, because we do still have COBOL programmers. We own the database. It would be faster. That was my point.
So just to put a confidence level back in me, this was because there was a lot of talk of if we could get it out now before the end of school and approve it at a meeting and send home flyers, that doesn't look like it's going to happen. We're going to put time into this, and we're going to notify the public, and we're going to get some more data, because that's the confidence level that I want, because I also would like to know what people feel about cohort. Do you put, you know, if this the board collectively decides, I would hope they would do let everybody know, and then eventually do a cohort where you don't do two grading systems. But again, this is a philosophy that you may buy into. That might be, and I don't say it's wrong or right. It's just different than what we feel and what the thing. But what would be? That's my thing. What is the best possible, reasonable, giving the best possible advantage to the student? Now we had we have five board members who don't teach, and would have a perception. But I'd like to know what the experts think. What do they think? Because they didn't pick, we think this would be better. They were tasked, and they did a really good job. And I also think we have a new superintendent. And not today, I won't put you on the spot, but I think he should be involved. And he should decide, he should decide with his own perception what he thinks is a better opportunity, and give us his opinion. So if you're saying that we're not, because I was afraid last week of not having some of these fine-tuned things, and thank you so much for bringing this stuff, that this was going to roll out May 28th, flyers are going home, nobody's heard about this, the grades get put out, probabilities, possibilities, we don't know, and then the real stats come out, phone is ringing, and we've lowered somebody's GPA to compete with St. Lucie and Brevard, and then we have the back end fixed. And then that complaint, Mr. Susi, like you said, well, it won't affect anybody until it affects their kid, and they'll call us. That's how this started. There was a person, and that person had a perception that let's divide them. Let's even that out. But I do want to add one more thing, that to squeeze this all in to try to make it work, we almost made it like an honors AP scale, because we took our 4.0 and added a 4.25 to squeeze this round peg into a box. Because the scale bothered somebody, and it got tasked to staff, and it happened to look into it. And it was probably due, because it was a 9-year ago we went to this. And it was probably due, and tasked it, the task was done, and it was done really, really good, I think, to try to find something, if that's your philosophy. But I would like to know what the people who work in it deal with it, deal with the children, the curriculum, maybe people at another time. I would like to see the public. This is what we're thinking of going to. And give it the same. If we got two ladies that come to us at quasi-judicial and talk about our student handbook, and zero tolerance is not really acceptable, and let's be a positive climate, and we give it that much attention, and we don't give the attention to a new grading system, I just don't think that's right. And I was afraid that we were going to just, in a heartbeat, May 28th, pass this and it was gone. So if you're comforting me that it's not, I'm going to put time in it, then I'll let the data or the information drive the results, and then it grows.
Well, first of all, I want to go back to say the last time we looked at it was 2006, okay, and it was brought forward by a board member at that time, okay, and the same debate raged. I mean, when you talk about grading, it falls into certain categories each time, and that's why you get together a group of people to bring the best thinking forward at that particular time, and they weigh the pros and the cons. And the last time the group was together, before that was when the plus was added. So that was the best thinking at that time, and there is philosophical opinions in there. Some people came to the table feeling like straight percentage was the only way to go, but it happened to be, I have the committee, I have the minutes, it happened to come that there was a 22-member group of people, community, teachers, and they reached consensus on what you have before you. But it was with the same thing that happened here: debate, discussion, refinement, and that's the way the process should be. You bring the people together that have the most invested in this, and they bring their best thinking forward to the board to make a decision. So that's exactly the way it happened last time, and I don't think there's a one best way. So for you to ask me my opinion, I think that's why you bring people together that have a vested interest in this and bring a recommendation forward.
So what?
So the thinking on this.
Was
so
nice
the thinking. Was that good? So that was history. So now the thinking is, there was a reason to come back together. I mean, look at all the legislative changes we have. We have to bring a grade conversion chart before you tonight to change. So the thinking is, it was a very good time to relook at the grade conversion chart. And so the group of people came together. There was no, I don't believe, sense of urgency to push it through. It was the work of the committee for a year. They brought it together. I think the board has, I think you and in the discussion have raised some points that could even go back to the committee for further discussion and looking at. But we're not trying to push anything through. We've made the best recommendation. We've made a good effort and brought the recommendation forward. Now it's for the board to decide, do you want to do it now? Do you want to wait and get more input from the, just have the committee bring something else back? But there's no pressure. The committee's done their work. If you need more information before you can make a decision, that's one thing. If you're not feeling this is the right time to change all of the grading, that's another thing. But it's for the board now to decide where you want to go with this. But this is our best thinking.
I did bring it up. So I really would feel more comfortable. You may not think sampling is fine, but I I have two things. I think that the new superintendent, when he's settled, should be involved. I think if this is something that's worth us, I really think that you should have it floating out there for a while. I do want to ask the question, because you were talking about focus. If it's pushing of a button in focus and you can get statistics, why would that be I mean, I don't think that would be a problem to look at. Could we wait till focus could give us some data? Could we involve the new superintendent? And then can we have another discussion at another time about it?
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're talking about is implementation for 16-17.
Well, depending on data, what if data comes back damning it, or the new superintendent said that? Well, we should do that. Now I'm hoping. No, I'm only kidding. Whatever the process is, I would like.
And Mr. Reinberg is the one that led it, so I'm not sure whether he has any input as far as where the committee would be in terms of pressing forward, or, you know, I mean, it was a recommendation to the board for the board decision.
So with regard to moving forward, I think the committee, honestly, in many regards, resembled what the conversations that we're hearing today. There are several different viewpoints. As Dr. Adams said, it's very philosophical how you grade students. There are some in the room that believe that an equal grade distribution fairly recognizes students at each of the different areas. On the other hand, there are others that believe that every teacher grades a little bit differently, their philosophy is a little bit differently, and to give the benefit of the doubt to the student potentially. That was there. That was all part of the conversation. In fact, we had some scenarios where staff were allowed to sort of participate in that kind of work so that they could see that there were different viewpoints. With regard to this, my concern would be, of course, in notifying the public. As I said before, primarily why we wanted to bring this forward to you now is because with all the changes in the legislation that will come our way, oftentimes we're not able to provide a student progression plan until the later part of the fall, right? That said, the appendices, what we were being asked to do by what was directed to us to do was to reevaluate those appendices for this coming year. If we would not have presented those to you now, we wouldn't have been able to present them to you until the full progression plan, which would be in the fall. Hence, we would be in the middle of the school year. We wouldn't want to make those changes with this type of work with students. And so we thought going forward we needed to bring this recommendation on this portion of the student progression plan. As far as the idea that getting the data and, you know, I guess we would work to support the ideas of the board and how you'd like us to go forward. The committee can reconvene and discuss whatever areas that you'd like us to discuss. I hear Mr. Green saying that with regard to the data, without the new system in place, it might be costly or has some cost associated with doing that right now. But in doing that, that pushes, getting that information again pushes us deeper into the cycle of being able to notify parents in an appropriate way, making sure that that information gets out. So that's the concern that I have. Why it's being presented right now is that timeliness of the change in the notification.
If it were to go into the progression plan next year.
That's correct.
That's right.
Sorry.
Is there any pressure from the point of the committee in terms of that happening next year?
There was no pressure on behalf of the committee. The committee's agenda, I guess, was to do the work that the board had directed, and that was to review the appendices, and we have done that. So there wasn't this sort of sense of urgency, per se. It was more along the line of reviewing the current plans that we have and looking at the percent model that was being presented to us. How the minus model came out actually was a direct result of some of the areas of concern that came up as a result of looking at the percent model. And so we thought as a direct result of that conversation that if the idea was to distribute grades across the continuum in each of the different grades, then this is how the minus, model came about. So I want to emphasize, though, from the committee standpoint,
22 members did sort of look at a lot of these variations. They did discuss this, and it's not to say that we can't go back and revisit some of that and look at some of the data points to see where that might be the occurrences, where those opportunities for students might not otherwise be with this new system. However, the committee would like probably me to present to you that they did discuss the variations, these three variations, and of the three variations, this one is the one that, I guess by all accounts, everybody that was there to vote voted unanimously for this of the three models.
And so it is a, and I have been on planning and zoning, where we have thumbs down a project, but city council, or if it was good project, cooler heads prevailed and they put it through, or the opposite, where planning and zoning said yes and the city council said no. We are the governing body, so it's a philosophy. But it also is important that five people that are legislators maybe ask the experts, which would be the new superintendent. If I asked you what you think is the best, and I don't want to put anybody on the subject, but I could say so that my peers could see, what do you think is the best philosophy? Because it's not of let's just move it a year. I have reviewed the philosophy, and I'm not in favor of it. I said last week, if you could show that it was an advantage and I could get the data, I would be in. And I don't see any data supporting that you're giving an advantage to the high end, the top 10%, where people are really grabbing for those real expensive scholarships. You're limiting the A's, B's, C's. It just depends who you want to give the advantage to. You could, which wasn't thrown out probably to the committee, after looking at both of these, you raise possibilities by giving the F plus and removing the double F. So you could, that's a whole other thing that could be discussed. But I don't buy into this philosophy because I think it, I don't have the proof that it's going to damage, it might improve 10% of the students that are high A's and low F's, and it might damage 25% of the A minus, B minus, C minus, and D minus students. And that's your kids that are not very much motivated. So let's just yank their grades down a little more now. I'm not buying into the philosophy for me. I have got more information. That's why I brought it up. I think it would be fair to get more data. I think it would be fair to include, not today. I don't want to do that today.
I don't think you can do anything.
No, I mean, I certainly can comment on this philosophy, but I won't do that. I could have you comment. What do you think is better for the children? What do you think better? But it's all opinion, and I believe. It is a philosophy. For me, without the data and just looking at the quick math, you are penalizing the middle kids that are popping around and they're getting an A plus, and it's, or you're getting, excuse me, an A minus, and they're getting their traditional 92, and they've now been reduced to a 3.75 credit for that instead of their 4.0, or the B minus instead of the B, or the C minus. I think without that sampling, I think that category is bigger than we think. And I don't know, and I won't do that to children. And I won't. I don't think we should do it without some real careful thought. And that's it. I mean, thank you for letting me. But I had publicly said that I was, if you could show me the data. I don't see the data, the real data. Real data, not probabilities or philosophies. I don't see real data, effective data, that shows that this is an effective strategy to help kids. I don't see that. And until somebody can show me that this is an effective strategy, I can't change what we have to go to something that could be worse without proof. So thank you.
Sean?
Yeah. I'll give you a real world example. I missed summa cum laude in my undergrad by this much, 3.79. And as we looked at the top 10%, I get it. There has to be a cutoff somewhere. So, but what it made me do is it made me work super hard at the next level to come back and bring my grades up. So that's just one example as to how this would work. I'm not saying that's everyone's example or it may demotivate, but in my case, it motivated me to try harder and put in more time. However, to your point, I definitely support a cohort method. the cohort implementation method, I think that that's probably the right way to do it.
I think that's fair. Let me just comment on that.
Sure.
I would agree with that. That'll make Johnny or Susie try harder. But that would be if the advantage was fair and this teacher taught like this teacher and this teacher. This teacher says, wear your college colors today and I'll give you an extra 5 points. And this teacher says, 5 chapter tests tomorrow. Good luck. I mean, so if you're doing it to the advantage of the student to give the best, and we know that happens. I mean, it's just the way it is. It's nothing against teachers, but teachers teach differently. And if we want to put the advantage to the student instead of counting on the teacher, and the student's just going to have to try harder, I would agree with you.
All right.
I need some direction.
We need some kind of direction here. Of course, we're missing one board member, which doesn't help at all. I don't know if anybody on, you don't have to comment, but we're also looking for some kind of direction.
I'm asking for more data to come back when Focus is up and running and to have sampling. And then when our new superintendent is aboard, we can have that discussion. And a real discussion involving the person involved and maybe some sampling. Because I might be proved wrong. But I think people should be know when there is some media here. People will know that we're considering something. I would hope you report on that. That we're considering something because now the media finally knows. Now we might have collective dialogue with people.
Yeah. I know the committee that's been looking into this for such a long time and the professionals involved and some of the sampling that, or not sampling, but some statistical analysis that were involved. I certainly don't have the stats like Mr. Cross does, but I do remember Y hat or something, whatever that means. I never would pretend to understand, be an accountant. I'm not an educator. I think the people who have been involved in this, I trust. And I think if it came forward this year, I would support it.
Can I ask, would you support, though, a cohort and not damage the children that are in 9th, 10th, and 11th with 2 grading systems?
Yeah, I mean, I'd support whatever. At that point, I'd support whatever our professional staff said was the best thing to do with that.
But then can we ask them?
Or
why are we moving something forward without involving the new superintendent?
Because Dr. Adams is still the superintendent.
Okay, so you're saying you don't want to wait.
I'm saying if it came forward, I would support it. That's what I'm saying. We need some kind of direction. Dr. Adam needs that.
That's for sure. We can have that discussion.
Well, I don't support it, so you got 2 other people.
I wouldn't support it.
I'd like to take time.
Yeah.
Will we be?
Sorry.
You'd like to what?
I think taking time, because we can discuss it next week, right? And hopefully we have more people. Or no.
Not next week.
Not next week. Okay, it'll be June or July.
Which means it won't go in for next year. I mean, okay. That's just the outcome of that. So so you know that.
I appreciate what Dr. Adams said. There was no rush. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not here on fire emergency, but just,
Don't take it off the burner. Mm-hmm. But maybe you know, it is kind of coming all at a time where there's going to be some major changes in this school district. And maybe now may not be the time.
Okay.
But tonight stays on, right?
Tonight is
it has to
be
by
statute.
Yes.
Okay. That's right.
That addresses the EOC
of Nelson
769.
Yes.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Mr. Searcy, you have something else?
I did. I would like to bring up the idea of possibly hiring an internal auditor who reports directly to the board for issues that, you know, I've had a couple of issues come up recently. You probably got the letter about an issue with a construction project where it reads to me like we accidentally paid somebody a pretty good chunk of money that we shouldn't have paid them.
And then the other issue was on that big book deal that Fran and I talked about a couple days ago. We just need, there's no question about the trust that we have in our financial guys, but I think we need to have an internal auditor who reports to us with no chains on, an open door for any department, ask any question. I think we need that. Our responsibility is to take care of $270 million budget, and I would feel a lot more comfortable if we had an internal auditor who would tell us stuff.
I would support a request for quote and have that come back on what they run. I support the idea. Without the amount of what we pay them, I can't fully support it, but I would like a quote of what they run, and I think I would support that. I think it's a check and balance. I don't think that's a problem.
It's my understanding that in other districts that have had the internal auditors, they more than pay for themselves. That's hearsay. But I think it's worth looking at.
I think I brought it up the last workshop that I'm in support of it, mostly because we can be a drain also on the finance department as a board requesting item after item after item. So not just checks and balances, but also as we become interested in things like I think Naples did a study on the opportunity cost of testing, and that's not something that we would ask Carter to do, but the board found it extremely useful in that they were figuring out how much it was costing them in dollars and not having that instructional time for the students. So that's the sort of thing that we may be able to capture and make smarter decisions as a board. And you know, to the point of I've never regretted paying my CPA because he's always been worth every penny as far as capturing things. So I would definitely support moving forward with an internal leader. It's one of our few options as board members.
No doubt, I would want some more information.
Right. Well, moving forward, meaning let's get some money.
Yeah, but and again, you know, we got to make sure, you know, as our funds are got to come out. So,
would we change that to a request for proposal? Let the internal auditor. I mean, don't they have to come and say what their duties are? And what I'm saying is, we're not going to sit down and say, okay, like let's thrash. Like you're saying, you want to know their scope of work and how much they charge as well. Or what's the information you want?
Philosophies, you know.
Thank you.
Yes, Suzanne?
I've represented a school board that hired an internal auditor as an employee of the school board. Mm-hmm. They were hired like any other employee. The school board established a job description, which established the scope of what they would do. There was an employment contract that, of course, set out the salary that they would be paid, but also specifically how they would bring forward their work list to the school board on an annual basis. The school board would then say yes, no, yes, 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 and the internal auditor would go off and do whatever that was on that work list. So that's just simply one model, but there, I'm sure other school boards have gone through this. Some of the big districts down in South Florida have internal audit departments, so I mean, there might be some other folks that you can speak with that give you other models, but Osceola School Board had one for a number of years and then did away with it for budget cuts.
Why did they do away with
it? It was a budget issue. It was a budget cut. They did away with it just before the economy started to go down. It was a budget issue.
Years ago, we used to have an audit committee.
Right.
And it was
right.
Made up of five members, each representing board members, and what they did, they had a budget each year, and then they worked with an outside auditing firm, and they come up and they worked with who was in Mr. DeGutis, who's our financial person at the time, and they worked very closely with Mike, and they would come up with a list of jobs that this year we're going to look at this, then we're going to look at. I can't remember what all they looked with. Yeah.
Oh, they look at IDEA, look at ESE.
Look at ESE, IDEA,
facilities.
You know,
each
facilities
year they would decide.
One, mm-hmm. You know, and they look at these each year, and we did it away with it.
And
about the same time,
the
we got away with it. You know. So it's not. I mean, I you know, in the philosophy of it, I'm not opposed to. you know, I just want to know, what are we really going to begin into? What are we going to commit to financially? Because that money's going to have to come from somewhere.
And it would be a budget item, so we could get more information and bring the budget forward when you start working on the budget. And maybe look at some other job descriptions that are out there. And I'm not so sure it would require a staff person along with that. I don't know.
It did in Osceola. There was a staff person and the internal auditor, and there was an office and the infrastructure stuff. So it was just the department.
Okay, thank you.
Well, we could, like, use the office that the attorney doesn't use the other 3 days, and we'd have that office taken care of. Will you be able to provide us with a job description or whatever it was in Osceola?
That's what I'm just making a note to pull that for you.
And a salary range?
Yes, it's in the employment agreement.
So that could come forward during budget time, and of course you'd have to approve a job description if you moved ahead with it. But okay.
All right, Mr. Cross.
One more lap, sir.
All right.
Ms.
Simchak. Anything else?
Just real quickly, I don't want to devalue any of the subjects that are brought forward. But, and I'll say that I'm probably guilty of the year and a half that I've been here myself of not keeping track of what we tell. Like, well, okay, that was the attorney, but for every, like, presentation that staff does for us, when we say collectively this board or the board before us, then it's just getting, it was a year in the hopper and the 22 people and it finally got to us, I'm not keeping track. I'll say that I'm the first one that'll say, yeah, that's a great idea. Can we have some information from staff? Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. And I think that, I'm not saying like the capital outlay plan, but if we knew what we had tasked, now we have somebody new, we're going to give them goals and directions and things like that. And every time we give a task out and add to what's in the hopper that I don't remember, and what we're doing today, and what we may do at another meeting, for every task we give them, we might be giving staff 20 hours of work that we forget about. And so I don't know what kind of system we could come up with, whether it's a running task list so that, you know, as we say, hey, we'd like to do, you know, because I think everything's, a lot of things are important. Everything's, these are all important subjects, but it's still, I guess I'm saying, and I'm guilty of it because I haven't kept track for the time I've been on the board, we've just been very, could you get us some information? And we just callously kind of say, hey, go do this for us, and thank you so much, and then you come back and say, oh, thank you so much, but there's that running list, and I'm not aware of the havoc I'm causing and the trouble that we may all be, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying it's not important information, but without knowing what we've put out there, and staff dutifully going, okay, we'll look into it, we're not prioritizing. And I think that if we could come up with some system, the new guy, so we could be fair to him and his staff, that we know what we've asked them to do. You know, there's a few things that are probably hanging out there that we've said, check into that, and they're working on it. And then this way, when we go to make a decision to say, look into this and look into that, you know, how long do you think that's going to take, and how much time, you know, please, this, well, you know what, do that after this, because I just want to be fair. And you think that's a good call?
Fair is always good.
Yeah.
Well, fair is that which benefits the person making that decision. Right? That's what fair is. What you're describing is like a project management office, and we could do that on something as simple as an Excel spreadsheet that shows estimated effort hours required. And I think that's a great idea that we're mindful of staff's time.
Yeah.
And that coming back to the idea of the auditor is, you know, or Mr. Green having to do that sampling, we're like, oh, we'd like to see some samples, and then, you know, he goes back to his office and cries for 30 minutes because he realizes he's not going to see his likely kids for a month. Absolutely, to your point, I think that a project management philosophy and way of doing business is a really smart way to do things.
And whenever we go in for executive session, there's that white erase board.
Right.
And there's what you're all working on.
Right.
And we sit down here and we don't have what we did 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 5, 6 weeks ago, and I have a good memory, but not that good. And we just don't have that apparatus or that system in place, and I just think that would be great for me, because we could be sitting here and saying, hey, this is, you know, what happens in this? Or, you know, it's just that I think if we could come up with something, I think that would be important.
Well, Claudia's not here. We give the job to her.
Right. maintain the right vote.
We can't vote.
Yeah, no.
As long as it's not filed on Judy.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
No, I just wish there was a way we...
I'd be happy to facilitate that. I'll step up and do it.
Yeah, and I guess what I would like to say is I appreciate you bringing it up, and I would say that, you know, a couple of your priorities, one would be to become an A school district. And if that's what you want, you've got to let your superintendent spend his time and energy and your time and energy on how are you going to do that. And by bringing forth 10 things on a discussion that could take, you don't have a big staff, take their time away from that. So I think coming up with those few goals that are very, very important to you and handing them over to say, we're going to support you. And so if you could have your discussion center, every time you talk, you're bringing some of that back. I think that helps make your vision a reality. But I appreciate you bringing that up. And it does happen. But, you know, we're all here to try and give you what you need as well. But that would be an exit interview
suggestion.
A recommendation.
Be honest. You're leaving. Go ahead.
Right. I would think if they come up, ideas like this come up at this meeting, it should be funneled right to you. And at the next discussion meeting, you may come back and say, now this project is going to cost whatever, and this much time, this much money, and we can decide if it's important enough to help us get to the goal we want to reach. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, we brought it to the table, and we found out, no, we can't do that. It's kind of like you go to the grocery store to buy your groceries, and well, that steak over looks good, but I only have $2. Yeah. I'll just take the
grams. So I think that's good. Sure. I think the other thing is before you put something down, you are going to say to yourself, mm-hmm. is this going to lead us to this vision and goal that we've set for ourselves? So, you know, I think that's good. That's kind of a two-way street.
But the other piece is that these issues that have come up at this meeting are brought to us by constituents. We may not know all the details about it, but at least we're putting things on the table that we've been asked to do. We represent a lot of people, and they ask us. The grading thing was one. Driver's ed is one. Different things. So it just looks to me like if we're going to have these meetings, I think anything should be on the table that we need to talk about. And then it's up to you, Paul, to give us an idea if it's feasible to do. Is it cost-effective to do? And if not, all of us are reasonable folks who would say, no, it's not worth that. And then we'll let you call Ms. Green and tell her we're not going to have a driver's ed program. We haven't met Ms. Green yet, but a marvelous lady.
Period.
Yeah. Anyway.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Mr. Searcy.
I had one more. You know, we every year, I guess, we put together a legislative platform, and I would be real happy to put the platform together if I know what you folks want. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was
work group the other day. Mr. Cross's predecessor, Karen, was so intimately involved mm-hmm. in that process that there's not a process in the world that I couldn't hate worse. honestly, I'm being completely honest, and you know, they used to put it together, and I, you know, we'd get together, and I'd say one or two things. Is, well, I don't think we need to put that. Okay, well, we're doing it. Okay, whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
And she would work with staff just to say, what are some things that you think are very important to bring forward?
And
bring something forward to the
in a legislative path. I do know it always ended up being a conglomeration. This is kind of off the. A little bit, but you know, it's kind of like policy, some of the policy stuff. You know, we rarely had either a legislative platform, like we never have a set book of policies that every single board member agrees with every single item. You know, but you try, you know, so it ends up, well, I don't know what I'm talking about now. Sean?
Yeah, well, and they are big shoes to fill, and a lot of times the guidance seems to come from the organizations, you know, and we have, as you know, and this was one of the things that I'll maybe bring up next, but the legislative platform, I know that last time around there was one or two items on there that wasn't total buy-in from...
Thanks for paying attention.
Well, yeah, I sat in these meetings. I paid attention every now and again. And if you saw me on my phone, I take notes on my phone. I realize that some people think I'm being rude, but because the notes follow me everywhere. But we have Chris Doolin at Greater Consortium. We all get the same emails, and they come in one after the other. And then we have the FSBAs, and we also have... there's another one.
Vern Crawford.
Vern Peckham Crawford, yeah. School Board, School Consulting.
Treasure Coast Working Group.
Treasure Coast Working Group, right, is the local thing, but his company, I guess, is School Consulting, Schoolhouse Consulting or something.
Yes.
So, I mean, and each of those comes with a real cost. So, in putting all this together, and then you have time and travel and all sorts of things. So, I keep track of it, but, I mean, we also have all of these other great resources as to what's coming down the pipe, and we never know what's going to be coming. But you see something filed year after year, and you kind of get a sense.
I think every single year it's been the restoration of the two mills is always
right. That's top. That's number one. And but it's one of those things where right. But by the same token, you have like things where House Bill 549, which would have made our memberships individual instead of group. We all join the FSBA as a board. And that represents $15,391 in membership fees each year that goes from our county to Tallahassee. So, and then we have the Greater Consortium of School Boards, which is about $3,000 per year. And we have Vern Pickup Crawford, who's $6,793, I think, each year. Right. 64, 63, 62,
and
somewhere
he's state
around
and federal, I would say.
He is. He does go. He goes all the way to D.C.
Yeah.
As far as lobbying, I don't know how effective, but as far as reporting, he's fantastic. So I think that the board, I've learned, you know, through my education process that we have very few powers. You know, we despite what we hear in public, you know, what is expected of us. You know, we can hire a superintendent and then let them run the day-to-day bus. You know, they're the CEO. They make the district go. We can hire an attorney. We can hire an auditor. And we can join groups and spend our membership money that way. And that's what I'd like the board to consider. And the reason I'm doing it now is because there is a conference coming up for the FSBA. We're in an odd-numbered year, so the purpose of the FSBA is legislative and professional development, right? So we're all educated. We all have a year in now at this point. So I don't know that a membership delivers the value, and I'd like to have a discussion on that with the FSBA. So as we prepare, you know, we've sat through these meetings after meetings of needs after needs. You know, we have administrators who've been frozen for 7 years. We have a one-to-one initiative. We have the needs are immense here in the district. So I would like to see, you know, the monies stay here in the district. And personally, I'd like to not send those all out of the district. So what are your thoughts? And the reason I'm doing that is because we have the opportunity if one wanted to go.
Is this your
to the June?
Is this your
ride?
Yes. Yeah, it's
all
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Tag team.
No. This wasn't set up. This wasn't set up at all. Obviously, we can't talk. We can't even.
Is the
talk
June
about
meeting part of this year's?
It is. It's part of this year. So, but there
it's
again,
June, December, right? They do June,
right?
December,
exactly.
Every
and I don't know that. I don't know that they wouldn't let us attend if we weren't members. So we have to look at what the membership buys us. It buys us advocacy in Tallahassee, which we've established. We have other alternatives. We have Vern Pickup Crawford. We have the Greater Consortium and
Treasure Coast Work Group.
Well, that's
Vern.
Vern.
That's
Yeah. So I don't know that those monies are. You know, I don't see the return on value. And if we put the students first, the student experience first, I don't know that we get that back. So as we put our budget together, I mean, we have, again, very few things over which we have control as a school board, but we can control what we spend our membership dollars on. So So I'd like the board to consider cinching up our belts, taking a year off. Just, you know, it's just taking a year off because we don't necessarily need
Dale.
It.
No, that's it.
Thank you.
It's kind of both of them. The legislative platform.
It is cold.
I feel.
Can I get you a shawl?
Quilt to cover my legs.
Don't make fun. Well, I've done it.
The legislative platform, to me, other people are lobbying, but I thought in answer to your question, the legislative platform is sort of a common by getting last year's and weeding out and seeing if there's any. Is at least, you know, I mean, what I feel like last year, I couldn't do it quick enough. I didn't think fast enough to. The tax credit was part of our platform, which I think was a philosophy, and the School Board Association had a lawsuit about it. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't quick enough to say, like, on a consent item, remove that item and I can help you. So I ended up in controversy over it and not voting for the platform at all. But there was many things on the platform that I wanted. I also feel that as a person, I have my opinions, but as a board, we have board corporate. And I think the platform would be good, some resemblance. We support the two millage, we support those things. I think if we could look at last year's and kind of just go, yes, mm-hmm. yes, no, no. Mm-hmm. So we have a united front on if somebody in the public grabs us out and says, well, what does the school board feel about this? That's different than what does Dale Simchak feel about. And I don't want to, I would be, do the right thing and say the board's policy is, or the board's, you know, supporting this and that. So I think that it's important that we, if you're right, maybe the next discussion we could get last year's platform, all eyeball it, and check, check, no, no.
And I think and that's usually the yeah. where you start.
And I think that's
because there is some, you know, you want a little bit of continuity on some of those items. Certainly, can, you know, at least use that as a starting point. But, you know, Dale, what you're talking about is that's pervasive through everything mm-hmm. that we do. I talk on the radio every Wednesday morning with Bob Such. Sure. You know, and I try to talk
walk
about
the line, yeah.
what the board corporate line is. And I'll say, listen, I'm not speaking on behalf of the board here, you know, when I'm fixing to go off the reservation. I'll say I'm just speaking for myself. You
well,
know.
I think having the platform for, you know, a current one, not last year's,
yeah. mm-hmm.
would be good. So I agree. Let's move, you know, work on that. And then in results to yours, I have mixed feelings. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. There was an issue with Florida School Board Association that I had a problem with. I spoke as Dale the person, mm-hmm. and I called, but in fairness, called Dr. Blanton and said, you know, it's a batting average. You have resources. You have things I might need, but, you know, you struck out with me on this one. And I'm, you know, person to person and just said it to him. But what are those resources? I mean, I did call him up about the charter. And ask them I talked to Bill Graham, what other charter districts are giving out money? And he said, I only know one, Sarasota, out of the 67. Mm-hmm. Well, that's an expensive resource for $15,000. So I have mixed feelings because I haven't gone to the, what are you going to call it?
Board Member 101?
No, the June. I've taken my ethics online. I know where my research.
Gone over to the
No. Unless they've got a room that I could get grants in. You know what I mean? Unless they have a room that's doing a grant seminar and I could get information on how we could get grants, mm-hmm. I can research all that stuff. I mean, for me. Now, if any of you board members felt that that's, because I've done my ethics twice now online, if any of you felt that that's a plus or that they have something in reserve or some sort of attorney power, that some sort of insurance that are something that we could see is, and I really don't want to knock the organization.
No,
I'm not
and
trying,
that wasn't my intention.
No, I'm just trying to say I would agree with you. What are we getting for $15,000 times how many years? I'm not sure. Maybe, like I said, they might have the ability to have resources when we need them. Could you go there as a non-member? I know like national government procurement. They have member and non-member prices for courses. So that would be a good way to start is can we receive some of their stuff over there for non-member prices? But I don't know if that fee, I don't know what we're using them. We did use them to get youth there.
Well, we paid an extra $10,000 for that, though.
Well, that's true. So I'm not sure. I really tend to believe... think that we don't need to be a member.
How many districts are not members?
Seminole just decided they weren't. They're constrained and they're not going to move forward as a member.
We got 67.
There are 67. I only know of the one because it was very recent, which sort of sparked my imagination, saying, you know, how can we? How could this? I know that there is at least one more because I met one of the board members at the December thing, and they said we're not members, so I don't know if they were there for the training. But did you do your online training with the Ethics Commission?
No, with FSBA.
Because there's actually free training with the Ethics Commission. Yeah.
Well, so I actually like the format better for the FSBA, but and I do like that, but that doesn't mean I can't switch over. But the thing is, I would probably like to get, because we rolled it out last year when we voted on paying the $15,960 or whatever it was, I would probably just ask, I don't think it'll take a lot of time, but just someone forward me that contract again so I could
write that down.
No, just
this is you guys.
Because it was a contract, you might have it on file.
I think it's just an invoice.
It's an invoice.
It's just a membership.
Yeah.
All you get is to be a member.
There was backup in our folder on what it provided for those funds. I'd have to go to that meeting.
It was the letter.
But you can get that information.
I'll find it. It was, but I don't know what month we approved that. Let me ask something. Is there a way to quick search our subject matters on our previous meetings
for dates?
I think it was February.
I can do a search because I have continuous minutes. If you have a good search word to use.
If you could just put that in and give me a date, I'll get my own information and look at that. Thank you.
But it's FSBA or?
FSBA membership
agreement.
Agreement or dues.
Yeah.
And I pay the bill.
Right.
Because it's due July 1st.
And they send it out.
I'll check last year's May or June. Probably going to get one in the mail as we speak tomorrow.
We have one.
They
send it
out
90 days prior.
Okay.
Waiting for next year's budget.
Okay. Oh, well, then can you just give me, all I need is a copy of that.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have one other sort of related issue, and it bothers me when I see that we're paying almost $12,000 a year for the Superintendents Association. I'm not quite sure what we get out of that. I know it's part of the contract, but that bothers me. We pay $1,000 a month to have a superintendent involved in a group like that. And when I see a picture in the newspaper of the head of that group, makes $200,000 a year.
Senator Montford.
Oh, man. Montford, I think his name is.
Yes,
Senator Montford. Yeah. From my point of view, it's a very important group to be, close networking ties with.
What does it do for
you? You get professional development. You have the opportunity as a new superintendent to become part of the professional development that's offered during that first year. You go, off to trainings. They also provide professional development when you get together. They bring in, whenever you're there for your conferences, you have one of the really important things when you're there is you not only have a chance to network, but then they'll bring some best practices that are happening from around the state. You do get an opportunity to talk with the legislators. There are legislators that will attend at various times in this meeting. So for me, it was an important opportunity to get together with my peers because there are lots of things going on in other districts that you learn from each other, and having that face-to-face contact is important. But FADS does provide resources in terms of people will come in and talk about some best practice programs, and so it was an important. It's one of the few ways that I get to interact on a face-to-face basis with my peers.
I think I'd be much more willing to forego the FSBA membership than the FADS. I do think that's important for them.
Right. CEOs getting together and sharing.
Absolutely. And I don't know if it's included, if the PD is included in the annual membership, or if it's... It is? Okay, well, that's different than
that.
Yeah,
I think that piece is
included.
Just as a point of reference, last week I attended a conference that was sponsored by FADS for district-level leadership teams. So it wasn't just for superintendents. It was for executive council or cabinet, whatever you want to call it, the district-level leadership. So I represented St. Lucie at that training because the superintendent couldn't go. But there were three other members of the team, and we all received the training, and it was all complimentary from FADS. So the PD is ongoing throughout the year.
It is. It's a big benefit to the superintendent.
And I will say, having been up in Tallahassee this last session, they have three or four government relations persons walking the hallways, mm-hmm. Getting things done, unlike another organization which was described as the most feckless organization in Tallahassee. Yes, by President Gates. When the media was present, he said it. So it means weak.
What's he talking about? The Superintendent Association.
No, I just. No.
Southern term.
I don't think so. I don't know the.
Addie, you all with
Yeah, feckless y'all. The feckless y'all. He is from L.A., Lower Alabama, Okaloosa. So as far as getting things done in Tallahassee, I will say that they do. They can get an appointment mm-hmm. when they want it. They can be heard. I see them testify before the House and Senate all the time. Whereas that other group, they can't get an appointment with a staffer.
Yeah, you get lots of updates.
So
Joy Frank is available to at any point.
Some people That's forward their stuff to me.
Yes.
Too. So and I do know that. That organization, for the $12,000, at least gets results mm-hmm. in Tallahassee. They have, for obvious reasons, they have the ear.
Well, they have the ear. They have the. What is Montford's position? He's a representative or senator.
He's a senator. I don't know how that happens either, but it's one of those things where at least yes. Yes.
He was a superintendent at one time, too.
Mm-hmm. I think he's been a part of his might whole career. He still be, isn't he? No. He was an elected superintendent.
Right. Leon
Kim.
Yeah.
Leon. Right.
Okay. He doesn't need to be one.
No. No. He can work through his year. So, your thoughts?
I think we don't need consensus. But
right.
Yeah.
When can we make that decision on that piece?
Can we tonight?
You have to advertise it.
You'd have to advertise it. It's a regular
agenda item.
Thank you. English is called. It's an agenda item. So, does it usually come from you or come from the chair?
The chair.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it comes on the agenda, and it's usually the chair who speaks to it.
What? Yes, Judy.
Yes. Anytime there's a membership that the board pays for, mm-hmm. that the board directs. I put it on the agenda for you.
Okay.
And we put them in June because there can't be 30 days before you pay it.
Okay.
So therefore, I can't put it on until there's less than 30 days before July 1st because our budget's not going to be ready until the end of July to use.
Okay. I gotcha. We'll have, and we are missing a board member, and it's not
sure.
Important. So we'll bring this back up the next discussion session in May.
Next one in that.
Next one in that.
Oh,
in a couple of weeks. And if we have board consensus, we cannot vote, we can't poll the board, anything like that. If it's clear we have consensus to forego that membership for a year, it just won't ever make the end. I don't think we have to vote it down, Judy, do we? We'll just never come up on an agenda. It just doesn't get paid. But that's a discussion we can have. Okay. And I'll give you some time to, if you need more information. I know you researched it for you, but if there's any more homework anybody needs to do on that end. Hang on. All right.
Just don't want you dismissing.
Mr. Frost, was that your item?
That was my membership.
Anything else?
I'll throw one up the flagpole. Goes back to another discussion or a workshop about, and I feel badly about this, the principal and assistant principals, I always wanted to give them the retro and all that, and we had, I feel really bad that it's going to go through the, I wanted the retro, but I think that with memorandums and with all these things are going on, can we at least, would that be, is that considered a possibility to vote me down for the retro
but and I won't use the word vote. Sorry.
Yeah,
you know, I understand that there was a consensus not to do the retro, but is it possible because I didn't even bring it up today, but a principal, the level we were starting, I think at 83,000, the charter wage starts at 89 for the high school. She has less students. Could we make ourselves right with those people and do a 15-16? Is that something that? That's something that was in your opinion the other day. That's why I was asking. So.
Not retro.
No, not retro. No, for the new year.
15-16.
Was that what you suggested?
I suggested that.
You said that.
Don't blame me.
Well, I thought we also wanted to know what the fund balance was going to be.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And second of all, I implore you to look at the non-bargaining. You know, you're talking about one group. It's the whole non-bargaining. You know, you're talking about that whole group. And you are going to have openings in which you are going to want to be competitive. So I ask you to consider that. If you want to bring the best Indian River County, you're going to have to pay a competitive salary. So I just want you to think about that.
Help me remember that whole conversation. I think we were talking about having those norms for the year we're going into.
Right, level.
Yes.
But not retroactive.
No, we made no commitment. I'm saying because I was making an argument for retroactive, could we move forward?
So any openings that we're looking at, I'm sorry, Dale, but I'm just to follow that up, any openings that we have going forward, we will have a more competitive salary.
When?
That'll be not. For 15-16.
No. We didn't agree to anything. We just tabled it.
That's right.
Can we just, since, you
it was
know...
going to come back, but it's...
It's going to come back, but when?
Well, I thought, hopefully it'll come back
next week.
Yeah, what we've asked, what Sue Titus is working fast and furiously on is trying to get a sense of the end of the year fund balance. That's what we agree.
And I know that Mr. Morrison, you know, we wanted retro. There was a big... Or I was saying there was... consideration for retro because the other bargaining groups got retro, and there was a push by the board to say no on the retro, let's do 15-16. And I just feel that I may have pushed for the retro a little too hard, and then we said let's just wait. And I was just trying to say, you know, let's just settle this and do as you had agreed for, because Mr. Morrison said we were fine, and retro instead, not retro, but moving forward 15-16. You know, I concede. I don't want. I'll take it.
All right, you got it.
Advertising
yep,
for,
you got it.
For those positions,
and which will be soon, I'm guessing.
Which will be soon.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
The issue I had on the retro.
Yeah.
We've been bargaining for a year with the IRCEA, whatever, and also the CWA. This issue came up 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. We haven't been bargaining with it. They don't bargain, but
that's
when it came up. And we're three quarters or better through the year. And I just don't think that's the right move to make. If we do it 15-16, that's a whole different
ballgame.
That's
what I'm asking.
That's a whole different ballgame. But for retro, I'm...
Would you be okay with 15-16?
Can't tell you.
Straightforward.
That's true.
I have direction.
Okay.
Discussing.
Okay. Can we turn it over to Dr. Adams now?
Sure. Okay, I have two
items.
On the agenda?
It's
I am.
Right there.
Oh. I have two items. One is the Vero Beach High School has, according to our board policy, followed all the items to be able to bring forth a recommendation to name the auditorium at the Performing Arts Center after James Sammons.
Wow.
It is in board rule in terms of the procedures that they must follow to bring the recommendation forward. They have met the requirements of the board rule that we, you know, have to have a certain number of people. They have to sign off on it, and it's not the building, it's the auditorium. Buildings has different rules than does a room or an auditorium. So they are bringing this forward for your consideration. And if you are interested in doing this, it would move forward to a board agenda at some point. So it's for your consideration.
All right.
I think it's great.
Davis, I'm Molly Loy, all the people in the community that lived here, I think it's great.
All real people. History? No, there are no.
Oh, no. Football. No.
Did you hit him?
This came up before. Not this exactly.
Not this exactly.
Not this exactly. This is a bit of a change. There was an effort to name the whole PAC. Mm-hmm. Dr. James Sammons. And it went to, it came to the board at a board meeting. I'm just trying to be, factual here.
Yes.
There were two people who were strongly in favor for it, voted for it, three people who were not. Two people who were strongly in favor for it was myself and Ms. Johnson. And I think I said at the end of that meeting, and I tried my best to, for why I was in favor of it and some things like that. And I can't talk about what we're maybe voting on here at some point. I said at the end of the meeting, I thought it was very interesting that the two people who were very much in favor for it were the longtime Bureau folks. Myself, who was born here, Ms. Johnson, had been here since the 60s. And we didn't have that historical. So take that for what you will. I can expound more on it later.
The tradition of revering people who are long. First of all, I think the guy put us on the map, so that's what I feel. The second thing is revering people in the community. That's a tradition, you know, by naming things after them. And I just know that for this to come forward like this, like Dylan Way, this is a love effort. And I have to tell you that I just think that it sends a bad message if we ignore when people want to raise up their mentors and their you know, people who have made a difference in their life.
And they have revisited it. I mean, it is in a different format than what it was before.
And I know I sound like I'm from here, but I'm not.
What did you say earlier? You said, I looked at Fran and she didn't hear me. I said, with you? Oh.
The youth.
You go there. I'm not going to be with you. All right. Anyway. Okay. Yep. We got involved.
I'm not in favor of this. Mm-hmm. I love Jim Sammons. I love what he's done for this community. But I look at Brevard County. I see what they did with Maxwell King. They named the Maxwell King Center, the Maxwell King Boulevard, and then there was a problem up there, and they had to start removing those names. And in my way of thinking, you put a name on something like that for somebody that's no longer with us. But if this board were to decide that they were going to do this and name that, I would hope and pray that it would be called the Jim and Sheila Sands, whatever you call it. Because I'm telling you, she was the brains behind that deal. She was the brawn behind that deal. And it
you
could
were
not
them.
Be it could not be Jim Sammons alone. Mm. And I won't support it. And I already told Jim, and I told some of his people, that I just couldn't do it. If he were to be gone tomorrow, she was gone. Mm-hmm. But if he were to be gone tomorrow, I'd be the first one up here telling him, let's do it. Mm-hmm. But you never know what may happen, what might not happen, what trouble Jim may get in, or what he might not get in. And I'm telling you, I love the guy. And what he's done for this community is,
absolutely.
You can't put a number on it, you yes. can't put...
You can't.
I got chill bumps thinking about yeah. what they've done. My kids all went through the band program, and it's phenomenal. We are
it's
on
phenomenal.
The map because of this, and
yes,
I hope
right.
I'm actually going to take, unless Matt does it tonight, and mention something about the band program. But I just can't do it.
Well, this is a recommendation that came from the school.
It's
a request came from the school, so
yeah.
it will go on a board agenda.
Not tonight.
Would it be untoward to propose the idea of adding to this proposal, or it seems
well,
like
I mean, if there's
support.
Consensus from the board to say, well, we'd like to do that, you know, we could take it back and ask the committee to consider that. This actually came forward from a group of people that met, and, you know, so, I mean, if the majority of the board feels like that's more appropriate, then we can ask the committee.
Well, what are you?
I have. Yeah, I was going to say, if you're not going to support it either way, right? If we added Sheila's name, you're not going to support it.
Well, we can't talk votes, but I'm telling you, if whether I support it or not, if it is to be, I would hope that this board, some of you folks may have known Sheila, you may not have known her, but you can't do it with Jim alone. You just can't do it. Whether I support it or not, I just can't.
I have a lot of respect for what this is, a request that's coming from the school. I mean, so I don't want to go back and tell them what they
I think for a comment to bring it before the board. We can make a decision. This is really based. This came from a. And it's been discussed. Mr. Sears is right. It's been discussed many times over the years. It's come from different groups. It's been really talked about the building before, as you mentioned. I think they've revised that to say, well, we really would like to name the auditorium after him. And
what else
so
is in the pack? Except the auditorium. I mean,
it's,
you know, it's. That was almost that was my first thing.
Yeah.
Is, oh, okay. The hallway, the Sean Frost Memorial Hallway. I want it.
Yeah. But I'll talk to Mr. O'Keefe and
do that. Hey, you never know.
I think that it should be brought forward.
After half a term,
I think people should vote their conscience.
It has to be brought forward either way.
Right.
Not unless she or he put it on the agenda.
Well, they're requesting that it come forward, and they follow your procedures, policies to do that. I mean, they really have followed all the policies. I even sent it back one time to say, no, wait a minute. This has got to make sure you're following all the regulations of the board and the policies. So they've met that.
You have something?
I do have one more thing, and actually I really regret that Mrs. Jimenez is not here, because she, along with the board, when we did our mid-year, we implemented Restorative Justice, which is a new program in two of our middle schools. And so Dr. Torres Martinez is here with guests. And so if we could have them come to the table, they want to give you a report on what's happened this year with regard to the Restorative Justice program, where it's been implemented, and... even though they have a PowerPoint, they said they were going to keep it.
20 minutes.
I'll be right back.
Yeah. They've been sitting all day long.
I know.
Hi.
Okay, this is...
Come on in. Hi. Have a seat. Have a seat at the table. We'll make introductions.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, pull up a chair.
Let's see.
Where her glasses are. Carefully, I stepped up.
No ice left.
Excellent. So you don't have to be careful.
Chip,
so we want the people to be able to see you.
Oh, okay.
Hi. How are you?
It's good to see you.
You too.
Welcome.
Nice to see you.
Hi.
Thank you.
How are you?
Thank you. It's a privilege. Mm-hmm. I know you've gone to some other places and done some circles with
the
yeah.
Oh, they're doing great. Good, I have to say.
Okay, so I'm going to take Mrs. Jimenez.
So, Dr. Rendell, these are some of our staff members.
Hi.
Lillian, you want to introduce everybody?
Levon Walker, a student support specialist.
Hi.
Mark Rendell.
You're welcome.
Principal Gifford Membership. Dr. Rendell,
so we're going to find out what she has enough.
Okay, I'm going to figure out which link this is.
So I'm
going to
have you to one, two.
So, Lillian, before we start, would you introduce our guests to the board? Thank you.
We still have time, Dr. Rendell.
No.
Have we frightened you at all?
No, Mrs. Simchuk, he doesn't. No. So, board, I'd like to introduce you to, reintroduce you, Dr. Torres Martinez. She's the Director of Student Services. And she's going to introduce our guests that are here today to talk about restorative justice.
Okay. This is Mrs. LaVon Walker. She's a student support specialist, and she's been working on the project. Mrs. Decker, principal at Gifford Middle, and Dr. Schiff, who is our consultant and our technical assistant person for the starting process.
And LaVon, you're at also a middle school,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yes.
So thank the you. Two middle schools that are piloting are represented. So what we, Dr. Adams had asked that we prepared a short presentation, and we want to try to keep it as short as possible. So I'm going to have Dr. Schiff kind of give a little bit of the overview of what is restorative justice, the approach and the philosophy behind it. Then Ms. Walker will talk about some of the how it blends in with the multi-tier systems of support that we've been talking about. And then we'll talk a little. We'll have a little bit of data, and then we have some surprises and some showcases for you about the
So thank you for having us here today. We're really excited about what's been happening and the progress we've.
It's
recording.
We're not video recording. We're audio recording.
No, I got it.
So just make
hard to hold it. We're excited about what we've been able to do and what we look forward to doing in the next academic year. And as some of you are familiar with restorative justice, the idea in restorative justice, I'm not going to speak directly to the slides, I'll paraphrase, it's easier that way. But the idea of restorative justice is that it's inclusive and collaboratory, if that's a word, collaborative, about including and engaging students in opportunities to identify and take responsibility for their behavior and how to make it right in the context of school discipline. So that said, the idea of restorative justice is that, as this says, we validate the experiences and needs of everyone by asking what happened, who's responsible, and what do we need to do to make it right. The idea here is that we are engaging people in identifying harm and in taking responsibility and building empathy for the impacts that that behavior has had on others. It also allows us to act in ways that are healing rather than alienating or coercive, that meaning we actually talk with and engage students rather than telling them what they did and what we're going to do in response. And, oh, that would be so much better. Thank you. In that respect, I would posit that restorative justice is not simply another program that we are implementing in schools, but it's actually a philosophy for how we deal with violations of student norms and student behavior, school behavior, and we actually build climate and culture by asking students to participate with us in that rather than simply telling them what to do, how to do it, and what we're going to do to them if they violate. There's increasing evidence for the effectiveness of restorative justice, or otherwise known as restorative practices, in schools. Those terms are used somewhat interchangeably, though not always. And there's tons of evidence, all of the research I haven't put here with all the citations, but there's lots of evidence suggesting that we've got reduced suspensions, we've got reduced disciplinary referrals, we've got reduced arrests, we've got reduced severity of behavior, even when we are still seeing some acting out behavior, And it's now being implemented all over the country in some of the largest to some of the smallest districts. And districts are increasingly adopting this as school district policy. It is increasingly in student codes of conduct, as it will be in the Indian River County Code of Conduct next year. It is in disciplinary matrices, and is in, districts are increasingly training students and adults to use restorative practices in place of punitive disciplinary strategies.
So I'm sure that all of you are familiar with the MTSS process. It's a multi-tiered systems of support that we've been talking about increasingly all year, and how the tiers of support support different pieces from the Tier 1 to the Tier 3, the Tier 1 being what we do for all students, Tier 2, what we do for some of those students, and Tier 3, what we do for the most intense students. So Ms. Walker is going to talk a little bit about how it correlates with the MTSS and examples of how it happens at her school.
So RJ lies perfectly within the MTSS framework, as has been mentioned. At the Tier 1 level, we're seeing it used to establish relationships and to build school culture, and we're infusing the restorative justice language across the campus. At the Tier 2 level, it's about maintaining those relationships. So what we've seen happen kind of organically is classroom circles where there's someone that's maybe not acting appropriately, and everybody gets to come together and talk about how that behavior kind of messes up instruction for everybody. And at the Tier 3 level, which is kind of where we focused a lot at Oslo this year, we're doing restorative circles or reentry circles for students so that they're able to talk about the harm that has happened and then have an opportunity to rebuild those relationships.
So this is a bit of a timeline. We started just having these conversations and introducing to the school board last year. We selected two pilot schools, which were the middle school, Oslo and Gifford. There was some buy-in from the school. We did some introductory training for core teams at that time. During the summer, some people changed, so the players and people initially trained changed. So then we had additional training, facilitators training. The facilitator training really involves preparing people like LaVon and other student support specialists and or guidance counselors to be able to run and facilitate the circles, the discussions, because that's kind of a little more mental health therapeutic, if you may, in nature, even though it's not therapy, but still people have to have certain skills to facilitate a group. And then in October, we began implementing the pilot. February, these are just different things that we've done throughout the year. In February, we had additional technical assistant, and actually Vero Beach, the Freshman Learning Center, their student support specialist, and the school psychologists are now being trained and in the process of developing the skills to be able to roll it out next school year in ninth grade at the Freshman Learning Center. We also started collecting our initial set of data now in April. And last week we had new facilitators training for new people, and also people that have already been trained are getting additional skills and additional time and practicing the skills and doing these circles. And here we have some data. Now, in the first slide you saw that, and I deliberately put there that it's not a cookie cutter, because it's not a cookie cutter program where you take a script and you could do everything. That's why the training, it's very differentiated. At the same time, it's very organic. The two schools are looking at their data differently, and that's part of an example of how different ways in which you could look at your data. Holding up that this is the first year, it hasn't been institutionalized. We have been piloting the program, but we expect that when it is institutionalized, we're going to see a difference in the data.
So what you have before you is of course, the quantitative data, but I wanted to take a moment to talk a little bit about the qualitative data. So what we were doing at the Tier 1 level is really trying to establish a culture, having bi-monthly PD for teachers to explain and expose them to it, allow them to see the work that's being done with the students. Our social studies teachers have been able to realize how easily it can align to their standards, and so they're infusing a lot of the restorative language into their curriculum, and so we're spreading it out that way. And where possible, without infringing on their curriculum, our life skills teacher has also been a part of implementing it at the Tier 1 level. At Tier 2, again, it's that maintaining relationships piece, and that kind of naturally has evolved, and I spoke a little bit about that in one of the previous slides, but really that empathy building aspect. And so then when we get to the Tier 3 level, this is what we found. We found that while our out-of-school suspension days were, in fact, increasing, one of the areas that we focused on, because it is the least objective, is fighting. So what you see on the green, the blue bar, obviously, is 2014. 2015 is the orange bar, and then the green bar is also 2015. Those are the number of suspensions that would have been out-of-school suspension days had we not brought those students back for restorative justice. So overall, we were able to save 103 out-of-school suspension days for students, and you can see how that goes across the board. And then also, I want to emphasize again that this is a piloting. This is our pilot year, and one of the other things that we were able to see is that we had a reduction in referrals to our suspension and expulsion review team. So that we thought was a really positive outcome.
Our next graph is Gifford Middle, and they looked at their data a little differently. And Ms. Decker will explain that.
At Gifford Middle School, one of our school improvement goals is to provide rigorous teaching and learning while protecting loss of instructional time. So we looked at it a little differently. We were trying to track last year versus this year, as this was a pilot year for restorative justice. So in the blue table graph there, you'll see the black students decreased from 70% to 57% out of school suspension days and so on. Now, this is of all suspensions that took place. So, for example, all suspensions in the year 2014 are in blue, and all suspensions 2015 are in the orange. So what we see at Gifford Middle, we have more referrals to the office, I'll be honest with you. However, teachers are becoming more accepting of less punitive consequences, and they sometimes ask for less punitive requests for disciplinary actions. So, for example, they will accept apology notes sometimes, work details, Friday detentions, and so teachers seem a bit more accepting of the alternative consequences to in-school suspension also.
I need to highlight a project that took place at Gifford Middle School, and during the work that we were, the life skills teacher was on the positive climate and student code of conduct team, and she brought the story as part of our discussions when we were talking about different alternatives, and it was that she did do a circle with a student that was having constant fights and was always in trouble. And out of that circle, a whole team came out where they had this whole initiative to repair relationships and repair harms. And they took a project and they engaged in an activity where they made hats for a cancer student, and this student that had all the fights and was always in trouble was kind of the lead one and ended up being the lead person taking charge under the supervision of the life skills teacher. So for that student, it was transformational at that point in time.
Okay. Well, I'll try to. Could you play it from there?
This is a sample of a circle.
You need the volume.
Realize that they make mistakes
But we also realize that suspension out of school is not the answer. What usually happens is that they fall very far behind, and that leads to all other kind of issues. But at the same time, we want to acknowledge the fact that there was a wrongdoing that and affected the school community at large. It means that everybody in the school was affected somehow by what happened, whether it was from gossip or, timeouts for teachers, having to deal with it, rise up, administrators. So the whole purpose of this Board of Justice is that we acknowledge that there was a harm and that we try to restore, figure out whether we're going to restore that harm.
Come in. I say raise my 6 kids. I say they have a problem. Figure. I'll raise by my dad. And she said, I did wrong with a lot of hate and anger, but I didn't take it out on people. I deal with it to myself. That's why I say I'm humble. So, it's thank God for my 6 kids and all of them in the school. That's what they keep me strong.
Let's talk about what happened. And Mom, you can talk about what happened from your viewpoint. And the students will talk about it, and I don't know if you all heard anything, but from your viewpoint, what happened?
So what's happening in the circle is that one, the mother here, and that's her son, and then the other mother that came over, that's her son who's sitting next to our school psychologist. In this circle, the boys had a fight in the gym, and they were friends, but it got out of control. They were horse playing, and it got out of control. And so the first piece you were hearing, we described what the purpose of restorative justice was, and then the question came, what was the harm? And the mother, the boys are answering that question now, and then we'll talk about how do you fix that harm, and then they just kind of shake it off, and that's it.
And
the one mom was explaining. We go around the first session is just kind of build a little bit of community, a little bit of a relationship. So we were talking about name something that you're proud of, and as that mom was speaking, she was just saying that she was proud, and she admitted in the circle that she was uneducated, she didn't know how to read, and she was so proud that having 6 children that she was able to get them through school. And that was what she was feeling at that moment. So the other mom got up and gave her some support. So it was a very engaging process.
It's hard for to understand what they're saying.
And I wish I would have put some words down there.
How did that affect you?
Yeah.
Did you feel
what
this session has meant for you?
Well, it's given me a better view of where the school is, what y'all think, as the counselors and teachers or whatever your position may be, that you really do care, that you are concerned, and you do have my child's best interest. And I appreciate that.
It opened my mind a lot. It showed that this is so many, having to talk to other people, like teachers, or
want to share with the board that the conference, the Restorative Justice Conference, and the three people that have been implementing it at Oslo Middle School will be presenting at the conference in terms of the implementation and all barriers and things that they have done and the impact that it has had on them. So Ms. Walker with Mrs. Thornton and Mrs. Allwood, the school psychologist, will be at that conference presenting what's happened so far. And then we will continue to provide on-site coaching and complete plans for next year. And then we have some closing remarks from students. And we'll see.
Before Restorative Justice, I was in school fighting. My grades weren't so good, and my attitude was bad. But after Restorative Justice, I changed. I became a better student. My attitude has gone. It's great. And my grades started to improve.
At first, not knowing much about it, I had an opportunity with Ms. Walker to sit in on a couple of meetings. And after being in the meeting, I really thought it was very productive as far as giving the students, finding out the root of the problem and allowing them to get a chance to work it out and find ways to solve the problem. I have worked with additional girls after Restorative Justice, and I use it also in my classroom as far as if there's a problem, we sit down, we talk about it, how can we work it out, what needs to take place to make their education setting very successful.
I was in Restorative Justice because I was fighting, and I learned that in Restorative Justice that you don't always have to fight to work out your problems. It helped me that I didn't have to, like, get out of my class and go and work out things with other students. And I didn't have to waste my mom and dad's time coming to Restorative Justice to not have to work and all that stuff.
I was in Restorative Justice because me and one of my teachers, we didn't really get along very well, and we had disagreements and stuff. So when Ms. Walker showed me to RJ, I was kind of like, no, I ain't going to do it. But when I did it, I really liked it, and now me and my teacher, we were very good. Now, we talked about, like, how can we get to agreement, because we had disagreements in the classroom about how me and her, like, why should I stay in her room or should I go to another room, because I felt that she was just picking on me, but no, she was not. So now me and her very well. I learned that Restorative Justice is very good for students that have problems or problems with their teachers, and it can help you in the long run.
So are other schools coming on board next year? I mean, what is the status of that? You said there was some additional...
Currently, the Freshman Learning Center staff has been trained, and Sebastian River High School may be coming on board. It's a ninth grade. All
right. Well, thank you. Thank you for the good work. And we've got some baseline data now. We're hoping that improves. Dr. Schiff, is there anything that you feel about what's been happening? I mean, you're the consultant that comes in and you observe. Is there any?
Sure. Thank you for asking that. I'm really delighted with how the pilot schools are looking at creative ways of bringing this into the schools. It's a difficult thing to establish culture change in different ways of treating things that we've always treated one way. So I can't say enough about Ms. Walker and how fabulous she's been at Oslo, and how much Principal Decker has actually looked for creative ways of bringing this in a different strategy at Gifford. I think they're doing great. One of the things I particularly like about Indian River County's approach is the understanding that this is not an overnight fix. That this actually, because we do a training on Thursday, doesn't mean we have full implementation by Tuesday.
Sure.
And I think Indian River County has been really conscientious about understanding that this is a 2 to 3 year process, at which point we will start to see some real results. And that the more we do at Tier 1 and Tier 2, the less we have at Tier 3. I also just
want to very quickly highlight that a lot of the reason we started talking about this was because of racial disparity issues, and a lot of why this is being embraced around the country are the disparity issues. And there's now starting to be data showing that not only do suspensions get reduced, but the disparity between particularly black, but kids of color and white kids is decreasing, which is exactly what we are starting to see at Gifford, which is really gratifying as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Listen, I just want to tell you, if you ever come back before this board again for something else, you mentioned something about a surprise at the end. I realize you're talking about the children talking, but no, let me tell you, Mr. Searcy's world, that means you're bringing something to eat. You may want to bring cookies next time. If you're going to say something that's a surprise, that's for you, Mr.
We have some cookies, just so you know. Primary reinforcements are welcome here. Just so you know.
The district staff, so that was the difference in quality. That's okay, thank you. All right, is that all you have? That's it. Okay, is that all you have? Anybody have anything else that they have burning desire to bring up right now? All right, so we're at six o'clock, huh? Six o'clock. Now, 5 o'clock. So, no, all right, we'll go ahead and stand adjourned. Do we have something at 3:30 or no? That was canceled.
Yeah, that was next.
Canceled, yeah.
That's there were no
canceled.
Petitions.
Right.
If there had been any parent petitions,
no
that came forward regarding that, but there were none.
You never are.
What? It's very different on the campaign trail.
I
thought. Did you ask to go find some petitions?
Yeah, we can drum some up.
Where's that sheet?
No, please.
We'll drum them up on your watch.
Exactly.
Boy, that
is going to
be
so. Oh, yeah. Well played.
All right, we'll see everybody at 6.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for coming.
Appreciate it.
How do you think it's going to be going down?
Thanks. Yeah.
Well, I have a sense of how it's going to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only thing that the teachers is going to be. I was worried that the first part of the MOU might be.
Yeah, it was counterintuitive.
It is counterintuitive.
Okay, so we got our work cut out for us with
and
the
it's because of the cut scores that we had set. If we had different cut scores, then
I don't know that I would have used
scheduling
it.
Today. I thought they maybe they'd pull up their calendars and schedule.
Yeah, it's how you feel.
We can't do it in June.
Yeah.
That's right. July,
yeah.
They've got.
Yeah.
Can't happen in July. So it's going to be so
To be candid, or you know, I
just
because
number one, we don't have a budget.
Yeah, I get that. But also, logistically, the June schedule is already pretty full.
Oh, it is. July, they've got one.
Or you already knew.
Yeah, because they go on vacation.
Yeah.
So I spent a long time drafting that.
They really have some time to get
that
together.
Oh, but yeah, it's great.
So I have a couple questions for you.
On that,
okay.
Okay.
So we
signed
the superintendent contract tonight. How do we handle the consultant's agreement or contract?
Of sorts.
We just finished your superintendent contract at the contract for the consultant.
So
that's it. We're done.
Everything.
Once we sign tonight, once they approve everybody signs tonight, we just need to, you just need to establish what the board knew, what the 17 days are that you'll be here. Maybe it's a half day here and a half day there. Just given the schedule so they know when you'd be available. And then I think there's also some days that you'll be over in Tampa.
You need more than 3 minutes?
Correct.
For the FADS conference.
Correct.
I think it's just establish that schedule. You're paid on a prorated basis. On your base salary, so those days will just be submitted.
So there's no consultant agreement, W-11 or W-9 or anything that I need to
fill out. You will be issued a 1099 for that consulting work. Now, whether
did I talk to Bill about that? Okay, get that or?
It's probably I would say yes. Bill Fritz would be the one to process that information. But yeah, we don't really want a second agreement. That's just
No. I can get a copy of that tonight.
Yes, Judy Stang has the documents to be signed, the contract to be signed.
You're welcome.
Okay.
So, Judy, do you have back in your office the superintendent employment agreements to be signed?